It is my hope and prayer that all of you guys have a great Christmas season, that you guys had a great celebration. I know usually we spend that with friends and families, and you know, like DJ was reminding us, this is a time that of great joy and celebration. So may you all have a wonderful Christmas. You know, it's interesting because we, the last couple of weeks, we talked about how people respond to Christmas, and we talked about that people still not done with Christmas, even though it's already passed. In some of the Hispanic culture, they will be done this week by the 6th. So they will still have this week going, you know, and the songs, you're going to be listening to those songs on the radio. Also, if you go to some stores are done with Christmas because you see decoration for Valentine's Day already. So you see, people respond differently to the season of Christmas. Also, through like I said, 2 weeks ago, we were going through here in the church. I was walking you and journeying alongside of you through how people responded to that news of the Savior. Remember when the angel Gabriel appeared to Mary and says, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you. You will be with a child, and you are to give him the name Jesus." Remember how she responded. We know that she accepted that responsibility to be the mother of the Messiah. And she said, "I am the Lord's servant. May it happen to me just as you said." So she responded. So the same day, the Bible tells us that there were shepherds in the field keeping watch over the flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to him, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, because I bring you good tidings, good news of great joy for all people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you, and he is Christ the Lord. And this is a sign for you. You will find the baby lying in a manger and wrapped in cloths." How did the shepherds respond? They went. They said, "Let us go to Bethlehem and check this out. Let us go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened." And they went and they found the babe and Mary and Joseph, and they worshiped. And they could not stop talking about it because they were going to their home, to their hometown, and telling others about the birth of Jesus. But the Bible says that Mary treasured up all these things and ponder them in her heart. That's how people are responding. But you see, we don't hear about the story of the Magi in Luke. We hear about them in Matthew. And you see, it's interesting because you try to get a PowerPoint presentation about Christmas. The Magi are always included in the nativity scene. Biblically speaking, they should not be there. The Magi are not part of the nativity scene. And this is why. Because Matthew chapter 2 tells you when Jesus was already born, the shepherds did come to the manger, but the Magi did not come to the manger. You're going to realize in the Bible, when the Magi showed up, Mary was already in a home, in a house. But you see, it's like somebody, like it's hard for us because even the whole world, like if, also another thing that we have fallen into that trap of, we think that there were three magi, three wise men, or three kings. They were not kings, by the way. They were astrologers. They worked for kings. They were more envoys that the king would send. But you see, that, like I said, it's so hard to find a slide that will have a lot of more than three magi. There's always three. Because again, it's like, because we assume, because there were three gifts, there were three people that gave him. But again, like, I just want to let you know that really the Magi, the wise men, were not part. I mean, we do it for traditional purposes and other things, but they were not part of they did not see Jesus when he was born as a baby. By the time they showed up, Jesus was already a child, perhaps maybe 2 years old, according to the biblical account. I want to spend some time talking about them because they responded in a way that it can teach us how to respond to Jesus even in this new year that is approaching. We're going to spend some time in the Matthew chapter 2. You see, we talked about, I always go back to that phrase, Gabriel told the angel told the shepherd, it says, "I bring you good news that will be of great joy for all people." I talked about you that the good news is only good if you embrace that news, if you believe in the Savior, because for some people that do not believe that the Savior is born, some people who do not believe in the Savior, that news can be terrifying. And you see, we talked about that will bring joy to all people. Yes, it will bring joy to all people, to those who embrace him. But in chapter 2 of Matthew, there's someone who's not happy that a Savior was born. He's not happy that a king, a potential king, is born. A king is mad because he received the news that a king is born. So you see, he's great joy for all people, not for this man. He's not very happy about it. So Matthew chapter 2, you have your Bibles with you. Just want to read you the story when the Magi came looking for Jesus. They did not know his name was Jesus, but they would know him as Messiah Nagi. That was the Messiah King in the Hebrew. So Matthew, one of the apostles of Jesus, said, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem, even there the text is already telling you that he already been born. They did not show up the day of, like the shepherds. After Jesus was born, we don't know how long it's been. It says, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi, some translation would say wise man, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him. When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Christ was to be born. In Bethlehem in Judea, they replied, for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people Israel. Then Herod called together the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and make a careful search for the child. And as soon as you find him, report to me that I too may go and worship him. After they had heard the king, they went on their way. And the star that they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. And they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and incense and of myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route or route. So that's the story of the Magi. Now, who were these Magi? This wise man that we talk about and that we love to include him in our nativity scene. Who were they? Magi, Magos, wise man from the east of Jerusalem. Now, it's interesting because every nation east of Jerusalem, they ride from right to left. Anybody who's west of Jerusalem, we ride left to right. It's almost Jerusalem. It's like the dividing line. That's where B.C. and A.D. also happened. Interesting, some of the facts when you go and study some of that thing. So this Magi came from the east. They came from the land, Afghanistan, Pakistan, Iraq, some of that. Now, it's interesting. They were not Jewish. They're not Jews. Why are they looking for a Jewish king? Now, these Magi's were really astrologers, magicians, wizards. I mean, other names, wise men, we call them. Their search, since they study the stars, brought them to Jerusalem. How they determined that, you know, before we have GPSs and things, people on the ocean, they study the stars and they can determine which way was east and west and what north, south, and they will go. Like, how to study the star, how to know that? You know, you get people like they do the 12 signs of the zodiac and by the study of the stars and things like that. So these people in the land of the east, they were astrologers. And if you want to know more about them, go into the book of Daniel, because Daniel was even put in charge of the wise men of the Babylonian kingdom. Nebuchadnezzar was the king, and in that kingdom they have astrologers. When Nebuchadnezzar had the dream in chapter 2 of Daniel, he called all the wise men in the kingdom, and they could not interpret the dream. Daniel, by the grace of God, was able to interpret it, and he was put in charge in Daniel 2:48 of all the wise men and the magi of the kingdom, of the Babylonian kingdom. Remember, Daniel happened to be there because he was an exile. The Israelites were sent into exile to Babylon and also to Assyria. But in those kingdoms, if you were smart enough, you would bring counsel to the king. You were considered a wise man, a wise person. And then anything that's happening in the kingdom, they would ask you about so that you would bring your counsel. So these astrologers that we're talking about, perhaps they came from the land of Babylon. Because one of the things you look in the book of Daniel is Daniel was put in charge of them. And how is it that they came to Jerusalem looking for a king? Who told them? I mean, think about it. They're not Jews. How did they know that a king of the Jews had been born? If you go back again, you see the Jewish people, when they were exiled, they influenced those around them. And it's very interesting because you realize that these wise men that showed up looking for Jesus, they already being influenced. They were familiar, even though they were not Jews, they were familiar with Jewish prophecy. And they knew that Daniel chapter 5 talks about that when the Messiah will appear and how he will die. I mean, Daniel is the only prophet in the Bible that will give us the exact day when the Messiah Nagig, when the Messiah King will appear. So I'm one of those that tend to think that they came perhaps from the land of Babylon, because Daniel is the one that was there, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and they were so prompt to tell people about the Jewish God, Yahweh. So now we have people that this Magi showed up to Jerusalem looking for a Jewish king, and they were not Jews. That's interesting. They star led him to the land of Judah, to Jerusalem, and they came to Herod. They went right to Jerusalem. And they asked, where is the one who has been born, king of the Jews? We know that he was born. Who told them? They studied the star. Also, they were familiar with the Jewish prophecy. It says, we saw the star in the east when he rose, and we have come to worship him. This is why we're here today. We want to honor him. We want to worship him. Where is he at? Tell us where he's at so that we can worship him. Now, Herod, being the king, he wasn't very pleased to know that another king, a potential king, has been born. So you see, he was disturbed. Some translations say he was troubled by this news. So you see, this news is not just bringing joy to all people. This king is not happy that a king is born. It says, when Herod, verse 3, when he heard this, he was disturbed in all Jerusalem with him. Why? Because you're the king. If the king is mad, everybody else will, we suffer the consequences right there. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, Herod now, he's going to investigate. He calls the wise men of his kingdom, which were the Pharisees, Sadducees, and the chief priests. So he said, okay, you're telling me with the news, there's a Jewish king born. Let's find out what the documents say about this. So he called together all the chief priests, all the Jewish religious people, and asked them where the Christ, where the Messiah was to be born. And they said, in Bethlehem. How did they find that out? The scripture, the prophecy already said, in Bethlehem of Judea. For this is what the prophet had written. But you, Bethlehem, this is Micah chapter 2, verse 5. But you, Bethlehem, the land of Judah, are by no means among the least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will be my people Israel. Who will be the shepherd of my people Israel. So where is this child, this king to be born? In Bethlehem of Judea. Because that's what the prophet already said. So Herod is mad, but he investigated. He received the news. He's moving to action. He goes, well, let's find out. Where can we find this child that was born, this king? The prophet said it was in Bethlehem. So the chief priests, teachers of the law, they investigated. They told him Bethlehem because that's what the prophet said. Then Herod called the Magi, the ones that were there looking for the king, and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and make a careful search of this child, and when you have found him, report to me. Bring me word, come back to me, so that I too may go and worship him. You know, as you continue reading, that Herod's intention was not to worship this child. It was to get rid of him. He wants to get Jesus out of Christmas altogether. He wants to just eliminate this child so that there's no king. And you know that Satan is just really orchestrating the whole plan, because you eliminate Jesus right here, then the salvation of mankind would be impossible. But you know, God's not going to let that happen. But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, are by no means least among the clans of Judah, for from you will come forth one who will be ruler of Israel, whose coming forth is from of old, from ancient days. The prophets already spoken. So how did Herod respond to that? So the Magi responded. They did the research, they investigated, they went to Jerusalem looking for the king. How did the king Herod respond? He was mad. He was threatened by this news. He was also troubled by it. He did his research. He wanted to validate the accuracy of what he was told, and therefore he did his research. He called together all the people of his kingdom to find out where this child will be, so that when he found him, he will destroy him. To the Magi, when finally they reached the end of the destination, found Jesus and Mary in a house. It's interesting because when the shepherds went to the manger, Joseph was there too. He's not here now. And the word is differently because when the shepherds went, Jesus called, they found the baby. Here it says they found who? The child. So in other words, the word for the Greek is like a toddler. Jesus was not a baby anymore here. That's another thing too. Sometimes like when you read and investigate, and you find the words that the writers are using. It says when they went into the house, they found Mary and the child Jesus. It wasn't a baby anymore, because according to the star, Jesus must have been perhaps two. He was younger than 2 years old. How do we know that? Because Herod later on found out, when he realized the Magi went the other way and never report back to him, he started killing all the babies who were 2 years and younger, just in case that Jesus was older, or you know that he would eliminate him. So he sends the Magi to Bethlehem. Go and make a careful search of the child. As soon as you find him, bring me word so that I too can go and worship. After that, after they had heard the king, they went on their way. And the star that they had seen in the east. So if they're seeing stars, you know that they're traveling by night. You don't see stars during the day, do you? So you see, they had to wait until this evening time. Perhaps when it's not raining too, because you got to see the star for you to locate yourself and find out where you're going. So they saw the star. They go at nighttime traveling because that's how they were astrologers. That's how they did it. But the text does not tell us that. You read that so quick and kind of you miss the whole point. They saw the star, so you know they had to wait until that day to travel when it was evening time, perhaps a clear night. They went again. The star that they had seen led them to Bethlehem. It says that went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, another thing too, Jewish house would not have a manger inside the house. Manger would usually be outside, just like an outhouse. So coming in the house, you see the Magi went to a house, not to a manger. Coming in the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary. And they bow down and worship because that's what they came to do. And opening their gifts, they presented him gold and incense and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. The Magi, how did they respond? You see, we see two responses to this news of the Savior right here in this text. First, the king is mad. There's no room in his heart for another king. Just like there was no room in Bethlehem, in the inn, for Jesus, because he had to be born in a manger. Now, there's no room in the heart of this king for another king. So he's mad. He's threatened by this news. And he did his research, but he's ready to find him and kill him. The Magi believed the prophecy. Their study sent him on a search of this child. They went to Bethlehem, and they said, we have come to worship him. So they responded in worship and adoration to this child. And they not just worship, but they offered their gifts and presented him with gold. It's interesting to me because sometimes we just hear those things that they were presented to the child. Mary and Joseph could not afford an inn in Bethlehem, and now they have gold and other precious spices and things. So it's almost like that child has been a blessing. I mean, now you're going to have something that you can use to support the family. Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. I mean, you know, those things are expensive. And now they receive those gifts right there. I mean, we don't spend a lot of time talking about those things. I mean, Mary and Joseph, you're going to see later on when you keep on reading Matthew that she needed to go and do some kind of cleansing as a mother. And if you could not afford a lamb, you needed to buy turtle doves and pigeons, because that's how poor you were. Now we got gold. I mean, think about that for a moment. They can pay whatever gold. I mean, we're not told how much they receive, but gold is gold. And in those days, that was the precious metal that everybody longed for. The Magi came, and that's how they responded to the news of the King, of the Messiah, the Christ. They worshiped Jesus and presented him gifts. And then they went back to their country because they're done with what they came to do. Their destination was done. They came to and they accomplished what they came to do, what they set out to do for who knows how long they've been traveling. See, two different responses. Both Herod and the Magi, they both believed somebody was born. They both believed the message and were moved to search for the truth about it. Only the Magi responded in worship and adoration. The King responded in, I want to find him and kill him, eliminate him, because I have no room for him in my heart. Jealousy and anger. Now the question about, that's the story really of the Magi. When you think about how they responded, and we've been looking at the responses of people through just because of the news of the Savior, how are you and I going to respond to Jesus? I mean, we have responded to him in 2017. How are you and I going to respond to him in 2018? Do you have room for him in your life? Would you have room for him in your busy schedule, in the agendas that you already have set up for next year? What would you offer him? Think about the Magi gave gold, frankincense, and myrrh. What would you give Jesus in 2018, which you did not give him in 2017? What would you offer him that would come as an act of worship from you? Say, you know, I worship you and I honor you and I just want to give you this. My talents, my abilities, my life, my money. I mean, what am I going to give the one that's King of the Jews? What am I going to offer Jesus, the Lord, King, and Messiah on my life? Matt Redman, when he says the heart of worship, I bring you more than a song, for a song in itself is not what you have required, because you look deeper into my heart. And then he said, I'm coming back to the heart of worship. We send that because it's all about you, Jesus. So what am I going to offer you as an act of worship? You know, when people worship God, they always gave God something, because he already offered us the greatest gift of all time, which is Jesus Christ himself. He loved us so much, he sent him to earth so that eventually he will become a man and die on our behalf to pay the penalty of our sins. But what am I going to do about it? What am I going to offer him? Matthew talked about the whole idea. Jesus said, if anybody want to come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. So are you going to even offer Jesus your life? Would you go to the point of death? Would you go to the point of death for him? Deny yourself about some of the things. I'm going to just do that for Jesus right now. The Magi offered him gifts. What are you and I going to offer him in 2018? Whatever it is that you choose to offer him, make sure it comes from a desire of your heart, not because somebody else tells you, give that to Jesus. Even our own service, do it because it comes from you. You want to offer that to him. And that will be a way that you and I will honor him in 2018. That's how you and I can respond. You see the two responses. One angry, another one joyous. One in worship, one in jealousy and threatening. I'm gonna respond in worship to the Lord. And I think that's what all of us should look forward to. And almost like maybe you can write it down as one of those what people do every year, resolutions. Lord, help me to respond to you with adoration, with the gifts and talents, whatever it is that you have given me that I recognize that is not mine, may I place that at your feet. And that's how I'm going to choose to respond to you, because if I truly believe, the Magi truly believe that he was the King and they came and worshiped, and if you and I truly believe that he is the Lord, then give it to him. Respond in a way that will adore him. You know, come, let us adore him. That's what we tend to sing around Christmas time. So how would you respond to him in 2018? That's just a few hours until that year starts. My prayer is that we all respond in worship. May worship this year be more meaningful to you. If you don't know what worship is all about, may this year be the year that you realize that now I understand what worship is all about. Giving Jesus whatever it is that I have, but that has to come from my heart, my talents, my money, my car, whatever it is not mine. I'm going to offer that to you because you are my king. It's yours, not mine, and I'm just going to offer those things to you.